It has been a fucking busy week. That's why I haven't posted all week, because I've been busy with all this other shit. But now I got some stuff to add in today. Tom Brady had won the Super Bowl yesterday. I know some people didn't want him winning, but that's to start off with the one story. And with Brady winning yesterday, it's his seventh Super Bowl title. He won six with New England, and then he got one with Tampa Bay. So now he's the most decorated NFL player in the aspect of winning Super Bowl titles, because he's won seven, and that's the most that anybody in Super Bowl has ever won. Yeah. Anyway, but and there was also a couple basketball news stories I want to get to. I want to throw out there. Derrick Rose is heading back to the New York Knicks. Basically, the Detroit Pistons traded him. After the Bulls traded Derrick Rose, the Bulls trade when well Derrick Rose used to play for the Chicago Bulls, and then he got traded to New York, and then he went to, I think, Cleveland, and then he got picked up by Minnesota, and then he was with Detroit the last couple years. Now he's heading back to New York Knicks. And then the Brooklyn Nets picked up Noah Vonleh, another former Bulls player. So now he's going back to the, no, I think he's going to Brooklyn, Nets. I have to look it up to make sure. Then I'm pissed off at Meijer because they fucking wrote me up the other day, and it was a bullshit write-up. It was Thursday of last week. And I was pushing, because I'm a cart pusher at Meijer. I was pushing carts through the snow. It was a big snowstorm. Eventually, I got to the point where I hit a rough patch in the snow, and the carts wouldn't move. I'm giving it all my might, and I'm trying to push it through, pushing it through, pushing it through, and it wouldn't go through. Well, and while this one customer saw me struggling, he asked me if I needed help, and I told him Meijer's policy on pushing carts if he did it. I told him, if you push carts and you fall, then we're considered liable, so I told him you can't push the carts. And he knew, and I told him three times, I said, you can't push the carts, because if you fall in this type of weather, we're liable, and then you could sue us, and we don't want that. But the guy wouldn't take no for an answer. He grabbed the carts anyway and shoved them through the door, and I got written up for it because they told me that I wasn't that I didn't tell him no. I said, yeah, I did. I said, I told him three times. I told him no. So I got a bullshit write up for no reason. But it doesn't matter to me anyway, because for one, I had applied to the Highland Mire, which is the next t which is about a couple towns over from where I live at. And some more closer to where I live. I decided that I would just go there. They got my application the other day and they completed it, so now I'm just gonna wait for them to call. And tomorrow is the start of Trump's second impeachment trial. What the Republicans need to do is fucking stand up and convict him because of that insurrection riot. Also, my mother is trying to copy me because she is deciding to get the same phone that I have. She went out the other day. She was getting pissed off because the phone that she originally had didn't have a lot of memory on it. And so we had stopped at Best Buy the other day and got the biggest memory chip that they had on file in the store, which was a 256 gig memory chip. And so we brought it, put it in her phone. Still wasn't working with her phone because her phone wasn't big enough to support that 256. So she's gonna get the same phone that I have, which is a Samsung A71. And then so we're gonna take that chip once we get it and put it into the new phone she gets. Also, because we're talking about possibly dropping the cable and going with another one, I didn't realize this, but T-Mobile has their own cable because I'm with T-Mobile on their phone plan. And T-Mobile has a cable plan for $50 a month. And I said, well, so even if I got this cable for $50 a month, that saves me about 70 something dollars. Like, I think I'm paying like 135 for cable now. So if I was to switch to this $50 one, it might save me about $75 to $85, and that's money I could put in the bank right then and there. So it's an option. So when my mom gets her phone on Wednesday, because that's my off day, because tomorrow I work 8 to 4, but Wednesday's my other off day, and I was off today from Meijer. So my next off day on Wednesday, we're gonna go pick up her phone and possibly talk to them about the cable thing that they were talking about and seeing what they offer. As long as they offer my sports channels that I have right now on the cable I got now, then I would definitely make the change and going with T-Mobile's cable if they offer the same channels. And then of course, just to kill time, I just finished up the third season of House, so I got to start with the fourth season. So I got the fourth season to watch, and then also seasons 5 through 8 on the second case. So I'm just waiting on that. And then I'm watching 8 Mile right now. I said I had a hard-on for this movie when it first came out when I was in high school. And I think it's more because my favorite rapper Eminem's in the film. Don't know. What I hate though is that a lot of times you get random texts on your phone. And I don't even know who the fuck these people are. They're texting me the other day. I got a text message from somebody from some sex site that I've never even been on. And that's fucking weird. But hell. And I was teasing my mother earlier, and I said, I got an idea. I said, we should start our own cooking YouTube channel. I said, you'll be cooking, and I'll be filming in the kitchen, filming you cooking. And that was a joke though. Anyway, I don't usually, I'm not really one to cook. But it sometimes could help. Oh, shit. I don't know if that's working or not. But hell. But anyway, but I was teasing my mom about the cooking thing. My mom's like, well, in order to cook, she says, we need to clear out the kitchen. I said, well, I told her, I said, that's your job, but I said, I can't do it because I've been working so much that I don't feel like doing anything 99% of the time when I get off of work. I like to be able to come home and rest when I get off of work. Which is gonna be like that tomorrow, because I work 8 to 4 tomorrow. I said, so when I get off of work tomorrow, I'm probably gonna go home and rest. And then, of course, unless my schedule changes at Meijer for next week, or like if it stays the same or changes, I said next week they got me working 4 days straight before I get a day off. They got me working Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before getting Thursday off, and then going back Friday, and then getting Saturday off. I think I only got 3 more weeks before I'm eligible for vacation time, which is what I've been wanting. But I got 3 more weeks. I think it's like the 27th is when I've been there 1 year for Meijer, and then the March 4th I think is when the vacation time actually kicks in. But I haven't decided whether I'm gonna take my vacation right away or not. I said if I was gonna take my vacation, it would be one of two reasons. I would either take it in June when during the week of my birthday, or I would take it during the week that we move, that me and my mom and my uncle move, and we try to move somewhere better, like a bigger place. I said I'm claustrophobic in this fucking apartment. I hate it because you got the kids upstairs, and this whole apartment complex has fucking kids, and all you hear all day while trying to sleep is bang slam on the door, and stuff like that, and I fucking hate it. And then you got the kids, and we got a fucking park on the play on the fucking property, but the kids never play at the fucking park. They fucking rather roam around the halls and fucking scream and yell at the top of their lungs, and it fucking annoys the shit out of me when I'm trying to sleep. No fucking consideration whatsoever from these fucking brats. That's why I think I'm saying I don't want kids. Then, for the people who might not know about all the social media sites that I'm on, I said if you follow my podcast, then you could also follow me on YouTube at Ryan Van Wyk, or you could follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. And then if you want to follow me on Facebook, you don't have to, but you can. But my name is also Ryan Van Wyk on Facebook, so you can follow me on that. Because there's certain sites I don't use, and I said, and I know that, like, I don't use TikTok or anything else like that. I said, I heard some people use TikTok, and I said, never heard of it. I don't use it as much. And I would say I would never use it as much because I don't use it anyway, and I don't download it. So there's other apps that people I know talk about using that I don't use at all. Like, there's some app the other day that was recommended to me, and I think I've used it once. It was called the Hangout, and I don't use it. It's like a group thing where you could basically send messages back and forth to each other, but I'm like, well, I'm not gonna waste my time in using it. Here's one thing I'm actually glad about because, and I didn't, well, I might just do it on my podcast, but my mom had sent me the video the other day. Pho News has basically fired Lou Dobbs, the racist fucking piece of shit. They fired him because he was a racist piece of shit, so they fired him. Now the next people that have to go are Maria Bartiromo, Fucker Carlson, Sean Insanity, and the racist cunt Laura Ingraham. They all need to go. So there's no reason for why they should be on there, or even still remain anyway, for that matter. And because I get off of work early on Thursday, I think it's 8 to 3, I might be able to get a call in with the overnight drive, possibly, if they decide to let me on. I mean, when I do the call, I mean, they usually have me on almost every week anyway. And just to let anybody know who follows me on Instagram, no, they did not, my no, and no, my job did not fix the pop machine in the break room. It's still broken. And they did not fix the coffee machine either, and that's still fucking broken too. And no, they did not fix all the doors either. They're still fucking broken. And I'm killing time until 6 because there's a basketball game that starts at 6. I'm just waiting till then. My college team was supposed to play, I think, Thursday, and they canceled the game because of this whole COVID shit going on. I'm not happy about it, but either way. We had a couple people that died the other day, famous people. Lou Hill died I think yesterday. What kind of sucks is that he died a day after coaching his last game. He was gonna step down this year, and he died the day after coaching the last game. He was the head coach for Texas Rio Grande Valley. And he was only the head coach for 5 years. He was gonna step down and do whatever he was gonna do, but then he died before that could happen. There was Pedro Gomez, baseball reporter for ESPN. He died yesterday, 58 years old, but no cause of death was revealed on that one. But for Lou Hill, he was battling COVID, and that's the reason, supposedly the reason that they gave for him dying. I'll be so happy once this COVID shit goes over, then I can do what the fuck I want, like go on a vacation anywhere I want. Me and my mom talked about wanting to go to Shipshewana, which is in Indiana, and they got Myers out there too. So like, I've always said I could just transfer. It's like wherever we go, I said I can go anywhere, basically. Let's see what the fuck I'm looking for here. And then Harry Fielder died yesterday also. He appeared on TV on the TV show Doctor Who. It's not a show I've ever watched, but my mom used to always watch it, and it's been on the air for years because I had so many people play Doctor Who. I said that show's been on the air for like 50 years. It's like one of the longest running shows. Yeah. I was gonna get it at work yesterday, but I decided to pass up on it because I don't have the money, but I was thinking about it. But my job has this power surge thing, and it has like 12 outlets on it. It has 10 little plug-in outlets like for the prongs, and then it's got a USB outlet where you can plug your phone in, and you can plug your phone in and charge it without having the block in itself in there. I said that was kind of cool, but my uncle said that, well, that's a power surge. He's like, it's not a full, what the, he's like, it's not like one of those power bank things where it stays on after your power goes out. He says it goes up, it goes out along with the power when the power goes out when you have a storm, like when it rains or snows, basically. Oh, that's sorry. That was my movie playing in the background there for a second. But I was getting kind of like I said I still gotta get a couple other movie series to complete my set that I have, to complete the set that I need anyway. I still gotta finish up the Insidious series. I said I got the first two movies and the fourth one, but I'm missing the third, so I gotta find the third one. And then there's some other movie series that I need too that they have, and I'm missing it somewhere. Oh, The Marine. I got the first two, but I'm missing the third one. Yeah. Yep, that's it. I'm like, hell, there's so many fucking movies I got here. I don't even know where I'm gonna put them all if I keep getting more movies. Unless I move, I got really no place to put them at. I did get two movies the other day, Black and Blue, and see, I got this movie called Black and Blue. And then I got Malcolm X the other day. Oh, and Bloodshot. I got Bloodshot on Black and Blue the other day, and I watched them both. Really great movies. Bloodshot was really good. And that was about Vin Diesel, whose character who plays a Marine that dies, and then he comes back to life as a as like a superhero type being. And in the movie, he still could die, only depending on how they get at him. And he had power, and he had powers like he could heal himself, like he was able to regenerate his own body. And so and then Black and Blue was about police corruption, and it stars R&B singer Tyrese Gibson, and that was a pretty good movie though too. They were trying to, he teams up with this one cop who basically witnesses an execution, and she's got like a body cam on, and they're trying to kill her and to get the body cam to keep them from being exposed, but she was not willing to give up the camera. And then Malcolm X was pretty good. That was a Denzel Washington movie about the activist for the civil rights movement. Malcolm X, I said Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, they had their different way of doing things, but both of them had somewhat good ideas, but I would prefer to follow Martin Luther King's following for that because he was more peaceful. Malcolm X really wasn't. But either way, it's like, it's a, however you look at it. And then, oh yeah, the Never Back Down series, that's the other one I gotta complete. For the Never Back Down movie, it's a martial arts film. I got the first one, but I'm missing the second and third. So it's just a matter of getting those ones to try to complete all of it. And I still got a whole bunch of books to read too. I said I got a whole bunch of books that I still haven't read yet. So that's gonna take me a while too. Okay, Biden has just confirmed that the Senate has picked Dennis McDonnell as to lead Biden's pick for to lead Veteran Affairs. So basically, Biden picked him, and the Senate had to confirm it. So the Senate just confirmed that Dennis McDonnell will be President Biden's pick to lead the Veteran Affairs. So that's a good thing. Well, as long as these people do a good job, then I'll be happy. It's been years since I've watched 8 Mile anyway. I said I've been in my apartment for 5 years, the apartment that I hate, almost six. And I think I've only watched 8 Mile once or twice since moving into this apartment. And the last time I watched it was about a year ago, so it's been a while. Let's see what we're looking at here for a minute. Even though it's not going to happen, but Trump's lawyers basically told the courts that the case that his impeachment trial should be dismissed because it was unconstitutional. It's not. So just because you want it dismissed would not mean that the court will dismiss it. They're gonna fucking do the trial anyway, starting tomorrow. Richard Shelby, he's a Republican, just announced that he's not running for re-election. He's gonna step down. And of course, I don't think that we could file our taxes yet, but I had to print. I fucking messed it up, but when I was at work the old day, I didn't realize I was waiting on like a tax form in the mail for Meyer, but and I was going to my phone. I'm like, well, why didn't I get a paper form to fill out? That's because when I started with Meyer, I fucked up by putting it into an electronic form and didn't realize that they had an electronic form. So I had to go through my phone, go into Workday app, which is the app that Meyer uses, and I had to go through like my benefit thing, or and compensation and everything like that, and change the thing. So I clicked on to receive paper and also electronic, so that I get both. And more than likely, I would just follow the paperwork, like the paper one, because it's easier. And I should get more back in taxes because I make more at Meijer by the hour, so I should get more back in taxes, which would be a good thing for me anyway, because then that money would go right into my savings account. Oh yeah, this is a good one here. Let's talk about this. Everybody has a difference has a difference between freedom of speech and what it means. And front and center in the former squatter Donald Trump's defense this week, it will be the argument that convicting him and disqualifying him from holding future office would violate his First Amendment rights. Actually, it doesn't, but that it would essentially amount to punishing him for speaking his mind. Yeah, being a dumbass. His new lawyer, David Schoen, has warned that convicting Trump is putting at risk any passionate political speaker, which is against everything we believe in this country. Well, his thinking is wrong. Even if the First Amendment protected Trump from criminal and tort liability for his January 6 extortion to the crowd that later stormed the Capitol, it has no bearing whatsoever on whether Congress can convict and disqualify a squatter for misconduct that consisted in part of odious speech that rapidly and foreseeably resulted in deadly violence. But to start, let's examine how breathtaking that Trump's argument really is. His advocates are relying on the 1969 Supreme Court case Brandenburg v. Ohio, which held that the First Amendment prohibits criminal liability for advocating violence that is not imminent. According to their theory, Congress could not impeach, convict, remove, or disqualify a president who, like Clarence Brandenburg, spoke at a Ku Klux Klan rally in a white hood and advocated violence, used the N-word repeatedly in declaring that African Americans should be forcibly returned to Africa, and he proclaimed that the Jews should be sent to Israel. Nor under Trump's argument could Congress use its powers if the same squadron burned an American flag on national television to demonstrate contempt for the country he or she had been chosen to lead. Nor could Congress use its powers if the same president wore a swastika while leading a Nazi march through a Jewish neighborhood. These supposed limitations on Congress' powers are not merely contrary to common sense, but they are without any basis in law, and courts have held that none of those activities can constitutionally be criminalized. But as the University of Missouri law professor Frank Bowman exhaustively demonstrated in The Atlantic in 2019, the impeachment, conviction, removal, and disqualification powers of Congress do not require that the squatter or any other federal official has committed a crime. The phrase high crimes and misdemeanors, which Article 3, Section 4 of the Constitution declares impeachment, conviction, and removal and disqualification to remedy dates back to 1386, as the nation's founders knew. That term had been used repeatedly for four centuries to remove and disqualify officials for any heinous conduct that was committed while in office but was not a crime at that time. For example, in a celebrated instance, Massachusetts removed its Chief Justice in 1774 for accepting a royal salary, an act that was politically disloyal but not a crime. In 1788, James Madison told the Virginia ratifying convention that abusing the pardon power, which at the time was not a crime, would be impeachable. In the Federalist Papers of number 65, Alexander Hamilton likewise wrote that the abuse or violation of the public trust would be impeachable, and in the more than two centuries since the Constitution was ratified, multiple officials had been impeached, convicted, removed, and disqualified for official misconduct that was heinous but not criminal. Indeed, President Andrew Jackson was impeached, and President Richard Nixon would have been impeached and convicted on certain counts that did not allege a crime. So while the First Amendment might protect a former president from criminal and tort liability for his speech, the same speech can still demonstrate his abuse or violation of the public trust, warranting conviction and disqualification by the Senate. But there is yet another reason why the First Amendment is no defense against the impeachment, and that is not a central object of the Constitution, and it was to restrain a government leader who was a demagogue. And essential to being a demagogue is engaging in passionate political speech. In the first Federalist paper, Hamilton wrote that history will teach us this, that of those men who have overturned the liberties of republics, the greatest number have begun their career by paying an obsequious court to the people, commencing demagogues and ending tyrants. And he reiterated in the Federalist paper number 85, the last Federalist paper, that a core aim of the Constitution was to prevent the military despotism of a victorious demagogue. Madison began drafting the Bill of Rights within months of the publication of Federalist No. 85. In what became the First Amendment, Madison built and expanded on the protections already established in English common law. Nothing in that tradition or in the congressional or ratifying debates on the Bill of Rights suggested that protections for free speech precluded impeaching, convicting, removing, and disqualifying a senior public official who engaged in the very demagoguery the Constitution was designed to safeguard against. Accordingly, though, the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of speech limits the scope of permissible criminal prosecutions and tort suits. It does not limit any of the separate removal and disqualification powers conferred by the Constitution. But the most frequently used of these powers is the president's right to remove senior executive officials, that is, those with administrative or policy-making authority. Every president or squatter has exercised this power, often in response to political speech and a policy statement that the official had made that would be protected by the First Amendment from criminal and tort liability. No one would argue that a squatter or a president can remove a senior executive official or officer for that officer's expression of political views, much less for odious expression that rapidly and foreseeably led to a lethal violence. The First Amendment freedom of speech likewise does not limit the Senate's historic role in the confirmation of senior federal officers. It's never been suggested, nor could it be plausibly that the Senate cannot refuse to confirm an executive branch nominee on the grounds that the nominee previously made odious and dangerous statements. But under the view of Trump and his advocates, if such individuals made such statements after being confirmed, Congress could not use its impeachment and conviction powers to remove and disqualify them. But how could the First Amendment permit the Senate to decline or to confirm a senior officer based on prior odious, dangerous speech, but then preclude it from removing or disqualifying the same official for making the same or worse statements while in office? And there is no serious risk that Congress will abuse its removal and disqualification authority, particularly in the case of presidents or squatter. Presidential impeachments are exceptionally rare, of exceptionally rare events, and in the 230 years of American history, none has yet resulted in a Senate conviction. The history confirms that Hamilton was correct when he predicted in Preterist Number 96 that the requirement that two-thirds of the Senate have to support conviction, and it would ensure that the security to innocence will be as complete as itself as it can be dire, or desire, basically. Congress plainly understands the gravity of its powers in this area, and it does not easily or lightly express them or exercise them at all. Consider that on December 6th of 2017, a resolution was introduced in the House to impeach the then president, the then squatter Trump. The resolution was based on his reference to very fine people in connection with the by then concluded violence that happened in Charlottesville and other statements that the resolution characterized as conveying various forms of bigotry. The House rejected consideration of that resolution on the same day by voting 364 to 58 to table it. We would have voted with the majority as those statements did not cause violence to spark an attempt to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power. At least four things distinguished Trump's January 6 address. First, it was made to a mob that he had called to Washington D.C. and then instructed them to march to the Capitol. Second, he used words that foreseeably could cause and rapidly did cause violence, including "if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore." His speech resulted in our nation's first non-peaceful transfer of power in modern times. And third, Trump, during his remarks, repeated lies that he had been promoting for weeks about non-existent voter fraud. Even the First Amendment does not protect knowing lies that cause foreseeable violence, that interferes with government functions and personal from criminal or civil liability. But fourth, Trump's speech was part of a course of conduct to override the 2020 presidential election results outside the court system. That course of conduct included attempts to extort the Georgia Secretary of State, basically to find approximately 12,000 more Trump votes to intimidate Vice President Mike Pence to violate the Constitution and refuse to count Biden electoral votes from six states, and to misuse the Department of Justice to subvert Georgia's election results. There is no legal or other basis for inventing unfounded obstacles to conviction and disqualification by Congress of a president for such demagoguery and other misconduct, and to the contrary, there are important reasons not to disable Congress in that way. History shows that republics can perish when they give a potential authoritarian a pass without serious consequences, as the wise Justice Robert Jackson said, and he explained this in his famous dissent in the Terminal of Chicago of 1949. The choice is not because order and is not is not because is not between order and liberty. It is between liberty with order and anarchy without either. To protect our republic, the Senate may and should convict and disqualify a president whose official misconduct included odious speech that rapidly and foreseeably caused lethal violence. Okay. Also, I forgot about this. Supposedly, I don't know how true it is, but obviously, it's rumored that Albert Almora had signed with the New York Mets yesterday. He was a former Cub that played for a few years with the Cubs. Now supposedly he's going to now supposedly he's going to be going to the New York Mets, obviously. But let's see how that works out for him. And of course, America saw had saw a historic rise in murders for 2020. Oh, also, because they're being greedy bastards, but Kroger is a it's a grocery store, decided that they didn't want to give the hazard pay back, so they intentionally closed their stores so they don't have to pay the workers the hazard pay on top of what they're getting paid by the hour. So they're just being fucking greedy bastards. So what they're trying to do is that they're gonna close all the stores until the COVID goes over. And once the COBA goes over, then they don't have to pay the hazard pay back, so they're trying to be slick. Fucking greedy bastards. According to this post I'm reading up for the murders for last year, there was a 21% increase in murders compared to the same period in 2019, which doesn't shock me anyway. I said I live in a town called Maryville, Indiana. So I'm on the borderline with Gary, and Gary's one of the and Gary, Indiana is one of the worst areas to live in. There's murders out there all the time, and I'm like three streets before it. So yeah, it's bad. That's one of the reasons why I want to move. And we are here with episode 46 of my podcast. This is the 46th episode. Hell, who knew that it could take that far and get that long to try to do that? Yeah, there really isn't anything else to talk about, so, because I got a couple other things to do, and then I gotta get to bed early today, because like I said, I gotta work tomorrow 8 to 4, so I'm probably gonna post another podcast, probably within a few days. I'm still looking for, like, places to live, and I said, it's gonna take a while trying to figure that out. So that's one of the reasons. So if we do get another stimulus check and I get my taxes, that's going in savings, and we're gonna use that towards moving. So that's what we're working on for that. Yep.